good evening, everyone. What incredible presence of God here. Yeah, it's just getting stronger and stronger. Good to see you all out on a Friday night. And is it Friday? Yes, it is Friday. And I don't know, it's about day 39 or something now. And I think it's marvelous what God's doing. It is. There's an anointing here. It's so strong. Look at the young people here tonight. That's wonderful. It's great. It's cool. The presence of God is so strong. What are you doing? I'm just looking at you. Why don't you look at me all the time? I'll just look at you. How do you look? Fantastic. Anointed. It's all right if the joy's here, let it happen. It is great. We're going to see this thing spread. Don't forget, tomorrow morning is the Kingston School of Ministry. And starts here at 9 o'clock. And what Vaughan and myself have decided to do is just wipe the registration. We'll just take offerings each meeting just to help towards cost. And then you can give if you can and want to, or you don't have to. So there's no more charge. We've been charging $20, which is pretty cheap anyway. But sometimes people can't afford it, so they're staying away. We'd rather you come, and we'll just believe God and to cover all the costs and the needs. That's fine. So that starts tomorrow. There's between 70 and 80 people are coming to the Kingston Fire. And keep coming. We're just teaching you from the Word of God and on things of the glory of God and the power of God, the anointing. Then we're activating and releasing you. And it's quite amazing how many of you have never used a word of knowledge gift or one of the gifts of the Spirit. You've never used any of those things and you're getting up here like you've been doing it for years. The joy I see on your faces is people come who've never moved in the power of God before, and look on your faces as you lay hands on people, you see them touch the floor under the power of God because of the anointing on your life, and your lives will never be the same again. And that's the truth. And so where does this Kingston Fire go? It'll keep spreading out and spreading out and spreading out, and Friday nights, Saturday nights is bigger crowds. Last Sunday night the place was almost packed, and the numbers don't particularly worry me. It's a lot of hungry people here at the moment. And as the hungers, you get hungry, you can't help but tell your friends. And you can't help before long, when people see the consistency of it happening every week, it won't be long before we'll be having to scratch our heads to find a building big enough. And how does it keep going? Just by meetings? No, by training schools like we're doing. And out of that training school will come marketplace ministries, will come church planters, will come missionaries. There's already been a heap of people come to me. In Australia, that means a lot of people. Everybody say heaps.
Heaps.
You go to Australia, that's a common, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing heaps, man. That's everything's heaps, heaps, heaps. And so it just means plenty. There's been a lot of people come to me and ask me, when are you going back to Australia? Well, we want to save up and come with you, help you plan a revival ministry over there. So it won't be just for now, but when we go, I reckon we could be probably taking 20 people from this revival that by then we'll have quite a number of revivalists here. This is just going to keep going. Why? The only reason revivals stop is because man gets in the way. That's the only reason people fighting or over-structurizing. And you have a move of God, but move of God has eventually got to affect all the churches. Already on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, I'm going to Pastor Don's church. He's not able to be here tonight. Usually he would be here. He's just out of town. And with some of his group there. But I'm going there Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, starting this Sunday, because he's got a whole lot of people in the, not just because they're, you know, in the black community, pastors who are just wanting to, they're hearing about the revival, and they'll start to come along there. So he wants to introduce me to a whole lot of pastors in that culture, and won't be long before it'll be hitting everybody. And that's what it's all about. And revivals only stop when man gets in the way. People do not get sick of the power of God. People do not get sick of the joy. They don't get sick of his presence. They don't get sick of people being under the power of God. And it's interesting. We've had lots of people healed and lives transformed. Not always through the word of knowledge gifts. Sometimes, many times, it's been, I just feel to call you out. I see the glory of God about you. You fall under the power of God. And that's why I say, stay on the floor until the power of God, till his presence lifts off you. And once it lifts off you, because you're under God's operating table there. And as you're under that God's operating table, he can put things in, take things out, heal your body. And in that way, no man gets the glory then. But you know, we've had some phenomenal words of knowledge from people here and who haven't used the gifts before, and very accurate things. People are writing and getting healed nearly every service on webcam now. Of all sorts of things, from paralysis of the face to bad necks to arthritis, and we can only believe they're telling the truth. You know, they're writing and saying, yes, as we were watching, when that word of knowledge was given, that was, I just felt this power go through my body, I'm healed. And so God's at work. And by the way, all those on webcam, welcome. There'll be people in Australia watching, and that's great. Roy Fields rang me yesterday. He rang Vaughan today. He rang me yesterday, and he's absolutely thrilled with what's happening here because he got this revival going. Then him and Vaughan felt to hand it to myself to keep the revival going, and of course I'm working at it with Vaughan. And it's a marvellous thing what God's doing, and he's extended his stay now in Australia for another month. He was coming back in the beginning of April. He's not coming back till the end of April now because, and the church is actually out now. They're releasing him tomorrow night. See, it's, where are we, Friday night? It's about 10:30 Saturday morning with him. And so he'll have his last meeting at Clark Taylor's church tonight. And he'll be going to Sydney, church in Brisbane, Sydney, then over to New Zealand. And then he's coming back to Clark's church for 2.5 weeks. And it's a great church of about, you know, 800 people, 1,000 people. And people are coming, driving as far as 4 hours per night to the meetings. And the glory of God's there. And so but he's just as excited what's happening here, because I guess he feels still a part of it. And he's going to come back here. I mean, he's welcome back here anytime, but he'll come back here within the first week or so, I think, at this point. It's hard to determine when you're in a revival ministry, because he may go somewhere it breaks out. And I've had to cancel ministries the last couple of weeks. And it's not nice to do that, but you can't help it. In your revival ministry, it's not a normal ministry. You can't just decide, well, we'll have a good meeting here, then next week we're here, then next week. You just can't do it. You can in meetings, but you, if you're a teacher or whatever. But if you've got a revival anointing on you, if it breaks out, it breaks out. You've got to keep going, as long as the pastor wants it to keep going. If he closes down shop, you can't do much about that. And so this door's going to be wide open. I think this Kingston fire is going to go on for many years, to be honest with you. And I really believe that. I'm not just saying it. We wouldn't have moved here, me and my wife, if we didn't think that. And so, you know, it's not really a sacrifice for us to be here. I get sick of flying on planes anyway. Spend half my life up there in the air. I like it, but I love building. I don't particularly like building local churches, in the sense of me leading it, but I love building revivals into local churches, because there's quite a number of local churches represented here. In fact, how many visitors do we have here tonight? You're not from this church, you're just visiting in. Just lift your hand. Oh my goodness. Well, there's quite a number here from the Vineyard too, that's wonderful. But it's about half again. It averages about half, and that is a great sign. So don't the Vineyard people be thinking, oh, where's all the people? Don't worry about that. I've done this thing for a lot of years, and for some reason, no matter if you're in a church of 500, you'll only get 100 of them showing up, and the rest of the crowd will be visitors. And that, in that way, it touches a whole city. And whatever reasons, don't worry about the people that aren't here. Just thank God for the ones that are here. I spent the first 20 years of my ministry reacting and preaching about all the people that weren't there and condemning the people that were there. Now I've let that all go. It's just immaturity, really, and we just got to have that heart towards you're here, and that's the most important thing. Turn the person next to you and say, you're here. What a revelation, you're here. We got some special friends of mine here tonight. We've got Val here, who has been organising our ministry, and she's a pastor and a great lady of God, and they're from Elmira. I don't know where that is, but it's some hick town in the back of Burke somewhere. And there's a friend, just stand up, guys. That's Maria, one of our offshooters, who organised all of our wedding, you know. And me and Sher, she did. She organised our marriage. I'm not married to her. I'm married to this lady at the front. You can sit down now. Don't take all this light. Gosh. We've got some very special people here. Bob and Anita Wing. Bob's an apostle, and Anita's a recognised prophet in the body of Christ. They work, they're apostles with Bill Hammond. He's got a tremendous ministry, and they're also our spiritual mum and dad. And we've just come from their church, their house. We lived with them for about 20 years, I think. About 6 months. And they're tremendous. He's a real father in the faith, this guy. And I got no doubt he'll be coming down here many times to input into the school of the Spirit and in meetings or whatever. We just let God be open to that. And they're a tremendous couple. Would you like to stand and just give them a big hand? They're wonderful people. They're off to Israel next week, is it? To minister there, then back in America, then Australia. Yeah. So, take me, will you? Bahamas? Then they're off to the Bahamas. Why don't you just come and give a greeting, Bob?
Glory to God. Well, there's no other place to be but in the presence of God, isn't there? So as we're worshiping tonight, I just couldn't help but feel that presence, you know. In that scripture verse, it says, in him dwelt the fullness of Godhead bodily. Yeah. And really, when I think about it, so do we. Doesn't the Holy Ghost live in you? Doesn't Jesus live in you? Doesn't he promise that the Father will come in fellowship with you? Oh, the Godhead dwells bodily on the inside of you. Whew, incredible. Incredible, amen? So think on these things. It's time for us to rule and reign, isn't it? You know, I think we should be better than any candy dispenser, a Coke dispenser. When people are thirsty and need something to eat, be refreshed, boom, you got to dispense healing, deliverance. Because you're the container of God. Anyhow, I'm not here to preach. I'm here to just say it's awesome. And I was so blessed tonight. You know, it's indescribably delicious. And I just want to warn you, the Word of God will change your belief system. So if you don't want to be changed, you better leave. Amen. Love you and appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Well, now I'll hand it over to the general. Vaughan is fast asleep on the front row. No, he's not.
Thanks. Now is not the time to pick on me.
No, it's not, is it? When you get the mic in your head.
Praise God. How many times have I told him, don't pick on the guy who gets the mic last? Hallelujah. You know, it's an amazing thing, like Bob just said, the dispensing of the glory of God is a much more important thing. I was trained, you know, the scripture is very clear about being instant in season and out of season, but most of us, we really don't want to play that game, you know? Be instant in season and out of tune, as it would be to the musicians. Where are the musos, by the way? Get back up here, you lot. And they're downstairs probably having a drink. And everybody else is up here having a drink. Praise God. You know, let me tell you. Oh, there she is. Look at that. Look at that. She got up here real quick with her new white boots. Who gave you those boots? When did you get those boots? See those boots? Look at them dancing boots she's wearing. When were you given them?
Tuesday. Yeah.
See that? See, someone gave her a gift Tuesday and now she's wearing them. See, that's the way you got to do it. Do you ever come from those old families? Did you want to say something?
No, I thought you called me up.
Yeah, I just told the musicians not to be down there. They should be up there. And you were so quick. Thanks, Elaine. You're wonderful. Isn't she wonderful? You know, most people have no idea what it's like working with cooperative musicians. That's probably a pastor's joke. Gee. So this religious joke, let me tell you quickly. There's some guy down on his knees, and his little eight-year-old was praying with him, and he heard his dad praying, "Lord, bless Widow Jones over the road. Make sure she has food in her fridge and gas in her car. Lord, bless Widow Jones today. Amen." The little boy says, "Dad?" "What, son?" "Give me your wallet." "Why is that, son?" "I was going to go and answer your prayer." And so it's an amazing thing in these days, you know. One of the very popular subjects of the Bible is intercession. But to me, the greatest form of intercession is get your wallet out. And I would say that there are more ways that you can intercede in people's lives by getting your wallet out than getting down and praying in unbelief. Because if you were praying in faith, how come you haven't got enough money to answer the need? Did anybody hear what I just said? I've never... You see, if you were an intercessor praying in faith, how come you haven't got enough money to answer their need? So these are very important realities that we're coming to a time. I don't know what the future of our country is. I don't know, have many of you heard of the some of the prophecies that are going around about, you know, the future of the country and all these things? Well, you know, it doesn't matter what people are prophesying or not. According to the book, things aren't going to be very rosy towards the end. I want to encourage you that living by faith is what we're all instructed to do. The beginning of the Reformation was right there, Romans 1, when it says, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. For, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So therefore, if you're not living by faith, you're obviously not walking in the righteousness that God has given you. And how important it is to walk in faith. Somebody missed a point last week when I said, you know, about not giving religiously. We, you know, I said we don't need George Washington in the offering. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're a widow and that's your last mite, then we gladly receive it in faith. But if you only give traditionally or religiously and you're not giving in faith, then you're not helping anything, especially yourself. Are you staying with me? It's so important to stay in faith. And when it's time to give, when it's time to bless, if you're not in faith, you can't get blessed. So I've encouraged people so many times. We go to work every morning. Do you go to work by faith? Or are you just going to do your job? You see, if you get up in the morning and go to work by faith, then you know it's going to please God. You see, if you don't go to work by faith, then obviously you're not pleasing God, because the scripture said without faith, it's impossible. Somebody say impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I'm finding out in my life that if I'm not being rewarded, I'm obviously not very diligent here. Because I'm not seeking him, because if I was seeking him, I would be rewarded. And so these things are important for us. They're very important. I want to remind you, God does not answer emotion. Don't think God answers emotion. God does not answer emotion. God does not answer, you know, any kind of sort of self-pity spirit or anything we're going through. He answers faith. This is why praise is so important in our ministry, that we can praise God to lift ourselves up to that place of faith. And stay in that place of faith for anything and everything that's going to happen. But I just want to read one scripture to you. And it's a scripture about King David. And King David said this, let me just read it to you. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might. Isn't that awesome? I have prepared with all my might. You know, you're supposed to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he said, with all my strength, I have prepared with all my strength gold for things made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx for stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Now that sounds pretty impressive to me. But the next verse I like even more. It says, moreover. Somebody say moreover.
Moreover.
He says, after he with all of his might, and let's face it, guys, we measure ourselves by what we do for a living most of the time. Come and help me, somebody, tonight. We measure ourselves by what we do for a living. And our might, the Bible says a rich man's might is his money. And so, when it comes to finances, if you don't understand how much it is part of you, it is not something abstract. It isn't something else. Now, filthy lucre is over there. Filthy lucre, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes money is called filthy lucre, but another time in the book of Philippians, money is called a sweet-smelling savor. A sweet-smelling savor. Can you imagine that money is actually called that? So money is part of our existence. You cannot separate yourself from finances or wealth or riches or whatever. It is part of our identity. It's a part of the way we think. It's a part of the way we act. It's a part of the way we carry ourselves. If you feel poor, you begin to act poor. And whether you have or haven't any cash, if you feel rich, you begin to act rich. Rich has got nothing to do with a state of wallet. It's got something to do with a state of mind. The Bible clearly says, Lord, uphold me with your generous spirit. And so therefore, if God is upholding me with his generous spirit, according to Psalm 51, and then in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that I am a partaker of his divine nature, then obviously I have a generous nature. Somebody help me here. You see, I have a generous spirit inside of me. It's part of that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's part of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. We have a generous spirit. The only trouble is our head wants to argue with it. Our soul wants to argue with our spirit. Now, what we have to do is we have to make a decision. Are we going to agree with the circumstances of our finances, or are we going to agree with what the Spirit of the Living God says about our finances? And that is our choice. Are we going to believe the circumstances, or are we going to believe the Word? If we believe the Word, then the Spirit is quickened and we agree with it, and God can't fail. And it's a very important thing. So he said, I put the gold for the gold, silver for the silver, etc., etc., wood, iron, onyx, precious stones. And then the next verse, I love it, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection towards the house of the Lord my God, I have given over and above. So in other words, he established everything that was necessary. Then he said, moreover, because I love God and his house, I've given over and above. You see, and that is when you begin to get the blessing, that Davidic restoration in your life, that establishment of David's place of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And I want to encourage you. We talk about the restoration of the tabernacle of David in the book of Acts. It is a very real thing, but we always translate it into praise instead of realizing that the restoration of the tabernacle of David is a man going from a shepherd to a king. Come on, somebody catch that. And part of the Davidic promise of God is God doesn't want you just to go bleating around the earth for the rest of your life. He wants you to rule and reign in heavenly places with Christ Jesus as a king. And it's got to do with your attitude towards the house of God. I keep telling you, if you don't love the house of God, I've told you before and I'll tell you again and again. Of course, we've got guests here. Forgive me. Keep forgetting I've been in this building a little bit. The church is Jesus' wife. And if you don't love the church, you don't love Jesus' wife. And trust me, if you don't like my wife, you have got no chance of having a relationship with me. No chance. You don't like my Wendy? Tough. See ya. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. You speak against my wife? Guess what? You see what I'm saying? Part of the Davidic, let me say it again, part of the Davidic restoration is take you from a shepherd to a king. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. It involves many things. It involves praise. It involves the love of the word. But it also involves the love of the house moreover. Now, therefore, we know your tithes belong in your local church. We understand that. We're not looking to that. But we are looking tonight for the more over blessing, not only to bless Steve and his wife and family and his ministry. I have much needs, many needs. I need a computer. They need a car still. I think there's one getting lined up, but they need lots of these things. They've just moved into the area. They've got lots of things that have been following them that they need to catch up with. And I want to encourage you. We need a more over offering tonight. We need to give in faith that you will be blessed and they will be blessed. That's one thing I love about God. Everyone gets blessed. When you give in faith, you get blessed. It goes on your account. They receive it, they get blessed, it goes into their pockets and their account and pays their needs. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. Tonight, let's make an exception. And I want to say this to everybody, I say it almost all the time. Young people, please hear me tonight. You must get in the habit of giving in the offerings. Young people, you just need to do it. Older folks, if you've got youngsters and you haven't got to make sure that there's something in their pocket for the offering, it's a very important thing. I'll never forget. Let me just close on this. I was down in a camp meeting in Virginia once. And it was time for the offering. And I was sitting down and my feet were on the chair, at the back of the chair in front. And so my pocket was open a little bit. I didn't have jeans on. Not in those days at camp. Anyway, and as my pocket was open and they talked about the offering, my son Daniel, who was about this big, now as you know he's about this big, but anyway, he was about that big. He listened... Oh, offering. Oh, so what did he do? He thrust his hand in my pocket. My pocket was open a little bit. He thrust his hand in my pocket, pulled him out, tore off a bill, put the rest back, and went and put it in the offering. I thought, praise God. The guy's got a revelation that God will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And I want to encourage you. It is time to sow. It is not time to draw back. It is not time to say there's a recession, things are going bad. It's not a time for that. It's a time to say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So tonight, let's just be a blessing to the ministry because we want to see Steve and his family blessed. So let's just close our eyes and just says, trust God. You can make your checks out to the Vineyard. Every penny we receive goes directly to him. We take nothing from it. We want to make sure he gets blessed. The Bible says a laborer is worthy of his hire. Let's be generous tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord, for everything that's come in our way. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Let the Lord just stay with you here. I don't want anybody to give except you give in faith. Because we want you to be blessed as well. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for tonight's offering. Will be a moreover offering for Stephen Sher and the family. So we bless you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give. Guys, thanks. Appreciate everybody. So we're going to hand the meeting back to Steve. And I don't know whether you're in a hurry to go home. We're thinking soon about an all-night prayer meeting here one Friday night. We just thought we'd speak it out now. You never know one night when it might just happen. Like, was it last Friday night? When was that night, Josh, remember? Last Saturday night. These guys couldn't leave the place at midnight. They were still here. The reason I'm saying that if you turn a couple of chairs around and put them next to the chairs behind, they make an incredibly comfortable bed. Yeah, they do. Ask me how I know. And so they really do. And I'm saying this because when I used to live in Jerusalem, so many times we'd have all-night prayer meetings, and sometimes for a week we'd be just before God, maybe running home for a shower. Sometimes we'd be in the presence of God 20 hours a day. And it just changes your life. So I'm just saying that, especially to the youngsters, you've got nothing better to do with yourself. Thanks, Joe, for the responsive. No, I'm serious. One night, I just want to say this. I think that the Spirit of God may just keep moving on us. Exactly, Xavier's in. Who else is in? Sarah's in. There's a few of all the visitors are in. Yeah, there's a bunch in. I'm not trying to organize it this week, next week, but just be ready sometime. You know, maybe you should bring your toothbrush next time you come to Kingston. You're laughing at me. There's three things you should never leave home without. Well, I guess your passport, toothbrush, a map, and toilet paper. But then you probably haven't traveled as much as me. Steve.
Thanks, Vaughn. That's good. So why have you got your phone on fire? I just got word Roy's in Brisbane. He just sent them an email just saying to keep my phone on. He's gonna call, and we'll stick this in there, and we'll hear his voice. So I'll carry it around. So if you're listening, Roy, do it now. Better make sure it's on, hey? Yeah. It could be anything next half hour. So we're just going with the meeting. If anybody hears my phone ring, I'll just leave it there. Just let me know. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching. Well, it doesn't matter what we're doing.
Yes, hello, this is Clark Taylor. Can I help you?
Hello? Is that Roy, is it? Well, here we are. I'm up in front of all the people. Hang on. Say hello to them, Roy. Speakerphone, where's that? Don't go wreck it. Top right button. Not in this one, it's not. We're trying to figure out how I get my speakerphone on. Actually, are you there? Yeah, just talk. Talk now. Dear? Hello?
Hello. Oh.
Yes, say hello. Everybody's listening. Say hello to them, Roy.
What's up, Kingston, Eli?
So what do you reckon about that? Tony. Got to keep talking. They're waiting in bated breath now.
You guys sound like you're excited or something about God. I'll tell you right now, there's a fire still burning. God said right in the Word, John 2:28, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh.
Yeah. Say that again, Melanie. Actually speaking in my home church. Yeah. That's weird, man. Saying thank you. No, we won't. Hey, listen, Roy, while you're online, why don't we just all stand and pray for Roy and Melanie in Australia now? Can you hear us, Roy? We're going to pray for you. Just stretch your hands towards the phone. Father, we thank you for Roy and Melanie. We thank you for this revivalist that you've raised up, Lord Jesus, and given him worldwide popularity. We just thank you that he's in my nation and that there's going to be a great revival that sweep across that land. And Father, we just thank you that you'll cause Roy and Melanie to hear you, to know which places to go to know what to say no to, and to know what to say yes to. I pray you'd regenerate them, you'd refresh them, and that God, I just pray you'd bless them out of their socks financially. I pray that you'll bless them with health. I pray that you'd bless them with a great anointing. And so, Father, we all just pray for them that you'd release them into greater blessings and greater fire in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voices, folks. Put the fire of God upon them. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hey, we love you, man.
We love you. Hey, listen, I want you to know, I want to tell you this one last thing.
Okay.
One last thing. Thank you so much, everybody.
Say that again.
We love you so much. I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Okay.
One of the services, actually, we've had three or four services like this, but one of the services, the worship just took over the whole entire meeting. Nobody could preach.
Wow. Wow.
There was no music. There was nothing. 640 people for 35 minutes singing in the presence of the Lord, and we heard angels.
Wow.
So we have
Wonderful.
We're just excited. So you guys have a great service tonight.
Yeah. And listen, we're going to watch. You've downloaded something on YouTube, so I've just been told.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it. Get that?
Roy Fields what?
It's Roy Fields Postones.
Did you get that?
Rochelle, Illinois. Rochelle, Illinois. For Australia Revival 2009.
Yeah.
If you type in that, it'll bring it up on YouTube. And then you can, it'll just take you, it'll just show you a quick clip on the screen of one of the meetings that we did. And you don't have to watch the rest because that was a video to send to the pastor and his wife. They're showing it to their congregation this Sunday morning.
Okay.
We had to opt out of doing the meeting
because
we've extended a whole month here. So.
Wonderful. Well, we'll do that now, man, and you'll be blessed. Thanks so much for calling.
We love you guys.
You too, mate. Bye. Yeah. Bye. See you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye. God bless you.
Bless you, mate. Bye. That's amazing, isn't it? If you get it, guys, just let us know. Yeah. If you get it, just let us know. Oh, okay. Maybe we can turn the lights off a minute.
Sorry.
I want to do the same as I've been doing before. I want a brand new lease on life. I want to see your glory in my generation. I'm not waiting for another generation to come. I'm tired of talking about all the generations before us. Congregation there in Rochelle, Illinois. My name is Roy Fields. And as you already know by this point, I am unable to fulfill my obligation to come and minister there with my family and our team in the month of April. And that's because I'm being filmed right now live here in Brisbane, Australia, where there's a mighty move of God taking place in this church. I'm standing in the Worship Center Church right now, where night after night, we are having all kinds of people travel from as far as Bath, England, okay? Even as far as Perth, Australia, which we're on the East Coast. Perth, Australia is a 5.5-hour flight onto the West Coast. And we know that God is moving here so sovereignly. We have told the Lord, wherever you want to put us, Lord, let there be revival. And you know, after being in the Lakeland outpouring and everything, before that all happened, my wife and I were traveling from the north to the south on the east coast of America, spreading revival everywhere we went, having extended meetings, staying there and working with the church, and adding to the church after we left with families and with a fire that will go and change communities. And so I want you to know, you're on our minds, and we're sorry that we can't be there. But I'm telling you, I've talked to Pastor James, who's probably smiling on the front row right now. Hopefully. No, I know he is. We talked on Skype, and we came up with the dates of May 29th, 30th, and 31st of this year, 2009. We're leaving here. We're staying the whole month here in Brisbane, Australia, in the month of April. And then we're flying to Perth. And then from Perth, we have to go to South Africa.
Because I was supposed to go to South Africa after being with y'all. And now we're going to go from South Africa back to Florida to where we have a base today. And then we'll fly out to Rochelle and it'll be with you. And I want you to know this, church. Hear me today, okay? We're committed to the move of God. And I'm praying that God will have us hang out in Rochelle, Illinois for quite a while to see fire revival spread out everywhere. So I want to just tell you right now, if you're interested in what's going on here in the meeting, so you can kind of line up your prayers with us and just petition heaven, God, touch Australia. Listen, the way God touches a nation is by that nation not thinking of itself, but that nation thinking about other nations. And so if you can just pray, maybe even now after this video, take 2 minutes and pray for Australia, that God would shake this place, that there would be such a move of the Spirit, the same thing like in the days of Charles Finney and John G. Lakes and Smith Wigglesworth. We want to see those days now, and we're starting to see a trickling of it. There's no hype here. There's no hype. We're not all excited about nothing. We are excited about Jesus is still pouring out His Spirit, just like in Acts chapter 2, when it referred to Joel 2:28, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He's doing it. We have all walks of life of people coming into our meetings, and we're going to see that in Rochelle, Illinois as well. So you can go to runwithfire.com. We also have streaming video now that you can watch on there. So I encourage you, link up with us if we're going to come out there to Rochelle, Illinois, and pray for Roy and Melanie, for us. For our ministry, that we would hear the voice of the Lord. Because I'm learning more and more in our ministry, we don't need to book out 6 months or even a year. And we've got lots of invites, folks. It's not about the invites. It's about having the move of the Spirit. The days of just transiting, whatever the word is, I can't even think of it. The days of being in transit, just going from church to church, they're over. They're over. People want a move of God. They want the real. They don't want the fake. They want real Jesus. And that's what we've come to give them, is a real Jesus. Will you just pray with me real quick before I end? Father, I just thank you for everybody watching us right now. Lord, I lift up Calvary Lighthouse right now in the name of Jesus and the city of Rochelle, Illinois. Lord, even up into Chicago, Father. And I pray even into Ohio, Lord, and all the surrounding states, Father, that you would send such a mighty move of your Spirit, Lord, that not one person as they come to these meetings in May would be the same, that they would be changed by the fire of revival. God, disturb every heart. Antagonize every heart, Father, with the plans and purpose that you have for them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Listen, we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you in May.
That's wonderful. Marvelous. Wonder if technology, hey, it's going to YouTube, bang. Probably did that this morning. That's great what God's doing. I mean, he's in my home church, and Pastor Clark Taylor's probably one of the greatest revivalists I've ever seen. I'm sure that's where I got it from. And a man who's trained hundreds and hundreds of men of God. The whole movement developed from him sending out 268 men after a six-week boot camp with him on his farm. And only two came back who failed. Every other church prospered. And some of those churches are hundreds and thousands now. And great apostle, revivalist to God. And he's there having a great time with him. So that's a marvelous thing. And so that's good. I'm not going to preach for long tonight. I just want to see God move. And if it's your first time in these sort of meetings, just forget about the time. I'm not a sort of preacher that goes on a long time or have long meetings for the sake of it, but I don't want to cut it out either. And so if I just have your attention and just zero in on the Word of God, and I think the power of God will just break out as we just go along. I'm positive He will, and that's a good thing. But if you'd like just to with me to 1 Corinthians... I just want us to have a look at a couple of well-known scriptures, but put it in the context of revival, because it's what it's all about. Now, revival will come through different ministries. We've all got different ministries. Roy is a revivalist. I'm a revivalist. And so to us, to go to a church, we're looking for a breakthrough straight away and hopefully to go into extended meetings just to bring a revival in that city. But if you're not a revivalist, then you'll go to a city if you're a man or woman of God in the way that you go. So it's just a matter of all us finding out what stream we're in and what we're flowing in and just doing it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, this is Paul speaking, and he's talking to the Corinthian church. He says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling," meaning he wasn't relying upon his humanistic philosophy, because before he was a Christian, he was a Pharisee, and he was a top order Pharisee, which means he could memorize the Old Testament, mainly the books of what Moses and had written and things like that. But he was a very learned man. But he realized that that amounted to nothing when it came to ministering and showing them that God was alive and very real in people's lives. He had to speak and demonstrate. He had to preach, teach, and demonstrate right there and then. And so he's saying to them, that's why he's in weakness and fear, because he couldn't rely upon his natural abilities. He had to rely upon God. He says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." He was a very intelligent man and a very good orator. He could have, if he wanted to, come to them in the flesh and given them wise and persuasive words and fed their intellect. What so many do today. But he says, "I've chosen not to do that, but I've chosen to come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." And that's the reason why we need to demonstrate. We've got to teach the gospel, we've got to preach it, and we've got to demonstrate it and show right there and then God confirming his words with signs, wonders, and miracles. That should be happening in any ministry, whether you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, on the streets, a school teacher, a candlestick maker, a butcher. It makes no difference at all. We've got to be people who, when we talk about Jesus, whether we're just testifying, signs, wonders, and miracles should be coming forth. And if they're not, the problem's ours, not in God's side. And so that's what we've got to do. Come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that people's faith won't rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. That's why it's ridiculous when churches today, to me, go seeker friendly, with the excuse or the disguise of just trying to win the lost. The lost are supposed to be won with signs, wonders, and miracles. The demonstration of the gospel. So, well, that maybe they don't major on it. Well, they're missing out. Every ministry, every local church should have the teaching and preaching of God's word, or whatever God's telling that local church, but with signs, wonders, and miracles, so that people's faith don't rest on your ministry and your wisdom, but rest on God's power. There's something about moving in the miraculous that gets people's attention onto God. If the man or woman of God are doing it for that purpose, for Jesus, people's faith rests on God's power, not on man's wisdom. And just one more scripture that is probably one of my favorite ones. In Romans chapter 15, this tells us the gospel in a nutshell. In verse 17 of Romans 15, it says, "Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done." So it's impossible. He's saying to them, listen, I taught them to obey God by what I said and what I did. So it's important to still preach and teach the word of God. It's not just signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow and confirm the preaching of the word of God. But he says, "By what I have done and said and done, by the power of signs and wonders and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Aquileia," or Aquileia, however you say it, "I have fully preached the gospel of Jesus." Paul is setting a prerequisite to what the gospel is. He's saying we've got to preach and we've got to teach, but we've got to do it with signs, wonders, and miracles. He calls that fully preaching the gospel. So I don't care who it is, whether it's a Billy Graham or Tom, Dick, or Harry. We don't judge other ministries, but if ministries are not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles after they have preached, they are not fully preaching the gospel. They may be preaching about the cross, or they may be preaching about the resurrection, which are all incredible, important things to preach about. But it should be accompanied with signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't know about you, but I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a charismatic. I am simply a Bible believer. The Bible tells me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I will be filled with the Holy Ghost. If the Bible tells me that signs, wonders, and miracles follow the preaching of the Word of God, and Paul calls it, and the Word of God calls it, fully preaching, then I want to fully preach this. The Bible tells me I can be prosperous, then I want that. The Bible tells me to live a holy life, then I want that. You see, that's what it's all about, friends. Fully preaching the gospel. That's what Kingston is beginning to see, and it's just going to increase. That's what Roy's seeing over there in Australia and wherever else he goes around the world. That's what many ministries are seeing all over the place. Signs, wonders, and miracles. If you want to fully preach the gospel, friends, I don't care what ministry we are. It doesn't matter. We should all be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. And if we're not, then we've got to press in and touch God till we do see it. And the more we go for that realm, the thicker it will get. The more we will see. The more things will happen. But we've got to reach out for that realm. When I was young, I was in this prayer meeting. And I was in Bible school. It was in 1978, something around there. It was in my first year. I've been marvelously touched by God. And the power of God hit my life in a phenomenal way. To the point where my prayer life went from a few minutes a day to 5 hours a day with God. I had the most incredible encounters where Jesus would appear to me on four different occasions. Came to me. Saw angels a lot of times. And he used to take me to the realms of the Spirit and gave me an understanding of how all the different anointings work. Gave me a lot of wonderful, wonderful truths, wonderful revelations. And one of the times I was in this prayer meeting with eight of the college students. We decided, I think it was a Thursday night, we decided to spend a couple of hours in prayer from about 7 till 9. And I was thoroughly bored with Bible college. I thought I was around a lot of theological fatheads who needed low-calorie shampoo on their heads to get rid of the swelling. That's what it felt like to me. I think, my God, if this is the cream of Australia's crop of future ministry, I really do pity Australia. Now, I don't know whether I had a right understanding of that, but no one was going in for the power. No one was pressing into God for the anointing. They're all teachers and whatever else they were in those days. And it sat in my heart. And I may not have responded the right way, but I certainly did with God. I thought, I'm going to push in. I don't want to be like these people, God. I want to leave this college having so many invitations. I want to see churches turned upside down for Jesus Christ. I want to see cities turned upside down. You did it, Book of Acts, so why can't I see it? I'll pay the price. And anyway, I was in this prayer meeting and with this sort of feeling in mind, and I said, let's pray. And I said, God, I said, this is pathetic. We're not getting through to you. So I said to God, I want to go to heaven. How do I get there? I want it in a vision. I want it now. And he says, well, take the young people here, young people, they're probably in their 25, 30, something like that, and said, and I was the youngest, so I was about 20 years of age. And the Lord said, take him on a faith walk to heaven. I said, how am I supposed to do that? He said, just take him on a faith walk and say that you're now at the gates of Jerusalem and there are two angels there. And as soon as you say that, you'll be there and leave the rest to me. So I thought, that's pretty cool. So I didn't explain any of that to the people in the prayer. I just said, I'm going to take you all for a faith walk to heaven. And I said, right now, we're at the gates of Jerusalem and we're being greeted by two huge angels. And as soon as I said that, I was there. Boom. In the body, out of the body, I would not have a clue. But I didn't know I was in a prayer meeting. I was there. And it was either a vision or I literally went there. That realm was so real, I'm still not sure which one it was to this day. And those angels, they looked at me and said, we've been instructed by Jesus not to take you around heaven. Because my first thought was, I want to go see heaven. I want to go see if mansions are real. I want to go see if people are really up here, you know. All this sort of stuff. He says, we've been told to walk you by the river and take you to the throne of grace. And so I just followed them. It was a marvelous experience. All I can tell you is heaven, this is the way it seemed and felt, is another planet. Obviously another dimension. It's exactly like Earth except perfect. And it felt like 10 times the size of Earth. I'm not saying it was, that's what it felt like. The sky was the deepest blue, the green was the greenest green. The birds tweeting was the most incredible sound. It was just animals everywhere and people walking everywhere. And I recognized in the spirit a few of the old greats. I thought, wow, I'd like to go talk to them. I'm sure I saw Abraham. He's a big fella. But the angel says, no, you've got to go by the river. And as I looked at this river, I'm walking along this river, and there's these wonderful trees on either side. And I hadn't read Ezekiel at this point. I was just having a vision, or I was literally there in heaven at the river of the river of life. And either side were the trees of healing. So this wonderful river, and I was trying to look where the river was ending. And it was like just going down to the earth, but I couldn't see because it was so far away. So I'm looking at this river, and it's a beautiful river. And the angels were there, and I began to see that God's throne of grace, this building that was there but wasn't there. It's really hard to explain. It was in the spirit world, and it was there but wasn't there. But it was there. Everybody get that? And so I'm walking, and the river's getting narrower as I'm getting closer. Then all of a sudden the angels had gone, but I just knew I had to go into this throne room. So I walk into this throne room, and the river is narrowed right down now to about, say, the width of these chairs, something like that. And I'm walking on the side of the river, and I come into this huge palace-looking place on this wonderful crystal glass, and just like the Bible describes it. And I started to walk, and then I noticed Jesus was sitting on the throne. He was just sitting there looking at me. And then the river narrowed right down and proceeded out of the throne, just in between Jesus' legs. He was talking to me, but he wasn't opening his mouth. He was talking to me in my spirit. And he was saying, come closer. And the anointing of God is so powerful by this stage. And I'm walking into the very presence of God, happy as a pig in mud. I couldn't believe I was there, but I was there. And I saw Jesus, and he's looking at me. And then when I get about probably maybe 20 yards away from him, he's looking at me, then looking at the river. He's looking at me and looking in the river. This seemed to go on for ages, but it's probably only a few seconds. Looking at me, looking at the river. And then when I was about 10 yards away from him, maybe 5 yards, it seemed like about 10 yards, he just looked at me with his eyes, and he looked at my feet and just lifted his eyes up to about 6 feet above me. And he had so much power in his eyes, it lifted me up off the ground, and he went like that with his eyes, and I landed in the middle of this river that wasn't very big. And all of a sudden, as I hit the river, I'm going. It felt like 1,000 miles an hour, like a current taking me. And I could see Jesus getting smaller and smaller, but he's speaking to me in my spirit. And he's saying, this is my river, son. This is the river of life. And as I was going in this river, it seemed like thousands of miles an hour. And then I noticed that the river was going down to the earth, but it was going into a spiritual deadness. I saw this blackness as this river. And as this river went into this darkness, oases and life and the power of God and God life just came alive in everything and everybody it was touching. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to take this river. It's my river. It proceeds from the throne of God. I want you to bring life to the spiritually dead. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to deliver those who are demonized. I want you, all these things, I want you to preach and teach the revelation of my glory and my presence. I'll give you much revelation on those areas. And this is all happening. And then bang, suddenly it seemed like I hit the earth, just crash, bang. And I was under this powerful anointing. I thought, my goodness me, I've just been in the river. That river had everything in it. It had joy, it had holiness. It had every doctrine in the Bible. It had everything. It had this life. And that's what, as a result of that, that became a hallmark of my ministry. For years I used to share that in many places because it would bring a phenomenal anointing. But what happened is that I saw that river flow. Wherever I go, if there's unsaved in the meeting, they'll get saved. If there's backsliders, they will get restored. If there's people need to be filled with joy, they'll receive it. If people need whatever they need from God, it happens in the meetings. And all I've got to do is to be obedient to the Spirit for him to show me which part of his river he wants to touch people with. And that's what's happening. Cut a long story short. That's what's happening in these meetings. People's lives are dramatically changing. People's tensions in marriage is just dropping off. People who just felt like giving up are now back on fire for God again. People who had illnesses and sicknesses of every kind are being healed, and now they're free from that sickness and pain. You see, this is all about Jesus, friends. It's not about a man. The fact there's so many out here on a Friday night, and then the Saturday night is the revival, then Sunday night. Please, come. Bring friends along. Ask them to come. Please, just don't see it for yourselves. Bring your friends along. It doesn't matter if you're out of town. Somehow get back to these meetings. And then what will start to happen is you get so on fire, it will start happening in your churches. And hopefully your pastors will let that same fire. You folk from other churches, ask your pastors to come to these meetings. Ask them. Because I find that a lot of pastors, I'm not saying it's necessarily in this town, they won't come because they feel the revival should be happening through their churches. And why should we go to you? It's just spiritual pride. That's all it is. It happens to be here. This is where it's happening. But everybody can have it if they'll come to these meetings and take it back. It's not about, oh, we've already got the fire in our churches. Oh, yeah, well, how come we haven't heard about it? Because if you had it, I'd be the first one there, believe me. I'm a God chaser. I'll go to the ends of the earth to find a move of God, a genuine move of God. I don't care. This is what has got to happen.